Welcome to another message on all the parables of the Bible. Now, Brother Lockyer starts this message in Matthew, the 18th chapter, or 8 and verse 18. Matthew 8 and verse 18. But we're going to read all the way down through the scriptures. We don't want to leave anything out. But this first 18 or 17 verses give you a foundation for the rest of the story.
Was that Matthew 8?
Matthew 18, 1 through...
No, Matthew 8.
Matthew 8.
21.
And Matthew 8 and verse 1. Matthew 8 and verse 1.
Okay.
This is going to give you a foundation for the lesson, the foxes and the birds. The parable of the foxes and the birds. And it's going to prove it. And what true discipleship is. And when he had come down from the mountain, great multitudes kept on following him. I'm adding some of the tenses of the Greek in here so you'll understand it a little better. Reading from the New American Standard, but I'm explaining it a little bit better with the Greek and the Hebrew words sometimes. And behold, a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now, you have to realize that all the Jews, every person that Jesus healed, had to go to the synagogue where he was supposed to be a member, but this man couldn't go into the synagogue because he was a leper. But where his family were members, he had to go and show himself unto them, and they had to give an offering of two turtle doves. One turtle dove had his head pulled off, except where it literally was still attached to the body. His body was held securely over a basin of flowing water, which was from a river or a stream, not from a cistern. And the body, the blood was drained. And then they took the other one, and they dipped the live dove in that bloody water and turned him loose and free. That Jesus' blood cleansed us from all sins and we're set free. That's what it typified. But only God could cleanse a leper. So leper here. So we know who cleansed the leper. Jesus did. The God of the Bible. The God of the Old Testament. Jehovah. And Jesus said to him, see that you tell no one, but go and show yourself to the what? To the priest at your local synagogue and present the offering that Moses commanded for a testimony to them. And when he had entered Capernaum, by the way, Capernaum means beloved home, Capernaum, and came to him begging him and saying, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering great pain. Now, this man was a compassionate man because most of the time their servants, if they got sick, they'd trade them off or just let them starve to death. Nobody don't throw good money after bad. And this is property, like cattle, a house, a corral or something. This is a good master. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. Boy, now by the way, this centurion built a synagogue in Capernaum. For I too am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, you go there and he goes there and come here and he comes to my slave and do this and he does it. Now when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who were following, truly I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. Roman soldier, centurion. And I say to you that many shall come from the east and the west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. In that place there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now here we have the story of outer darkness. But Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, let it be done to you as you have believed, and the servant was healed the very hour Now we come to another. Now, where's Jesus living and staying and laying his head and eating his meals? Does he have a home?
No.
He's just walking to and fro and living wherever he may. He has no home. As a matter of fact, he was the eldest son, and so he was in custody of his mother and his father, earthly father, Joseph, had already died. And Jesus wasn't there home following her around and making sure she's all right either, was he? I know the Catholic Church has greatly elevated Mary into idolatry, Mariolatry. But that's not what happened back here. Jesus, when he's dying on the cross, he looked at John. He says, look at your mother. Mother, look at your son. He'll take care of you. He's not at home here, still splitting stones, the stonemason that he was. Peter's mother-in-law healed, and many healed here, what we're talking about. And when Jesus came to Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick in a bed with fever. And every one of these things are his messianic credentials. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and waited on him. And when the evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed and cast out the spirits, and with a word, with an edict, healed all that were ill, because his words were the words of Jehovah God in the Old Testament. Remember last time he said, many will come unto me and say, Lord, Lord? That's saying that he is the God of the Bible, the Old Testament. In order that what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, he himself took on our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Now, we come to the story that Mr. Lockyer is going to talk about. Jesus is going from place to place without any place to lay his head or a bed or a table to lay up against or shelter at night. Now, when Jesus saw a crowd around him, he gave orders to depart to the other side, and a certain scribe came and said to him, Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Now we're going to talk about true discipleship here. What is the cost to be a true disciple? And Jesus said to him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And another of the disciples said to him, Lord, allow me first to go and to bury my father. But Jesus said to him, Follow me and allow the dead ones to bury the dead ones. Now let's go back and hear on page 159 in all the parables of the Bible by Herbert Lockyer. The scribe or rabbi to whom we are introduced was one of the few of his order who came to believe in and follow Christ. His was a desire to join the fishermen's apostles. His fishermen apostles as Christ's disciple. Doubtless his preaching gripped the scribe's heart, and in a moment of enthusiasm and impulse, he declared his willingness to follow Jesus wherever he was sent. But Jesus tested the reality of his true discipleship and the scribe's decision as to whether he was willing for the sacrifice that followed the master entailed. Observing the growing popularity of Jesus, perhaps the scribe felt it would be a good thing to jump on the bandwagon. He was warned, however, that the wholehearted consecration really meant endeavoring to destroy any illusions the scribe may have had. Jesus referred to his own homeless, even in Capernaum. Now the scribe said he had to go home and bury his father. Mm-hmm. Now he was probably the head of the family. If he left, he would lose all rights to his father's land and property. Was he willing to do that? His father wasn't even dead yet, so he was probably feeble and old, and he wanted to stay home and make sure that he was that eldest son that would get more property than all the rest of the sons. Now, get that down. This is very important. As for him, he had no certain dwelling place. The foxes were not without their holes, nor the birds without their nests. But for him, there was the constant dependence upon the hospitality of others. Even Peter and John and James, Nathaniel, Bartholomew. And he borrowed a pillow for his head. There were many times even this hospitality failed, and Jesus slept under the Syrian skies. Every man went to his own home. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. There was no one with decency enough to offer Jesus a bed. He had to retire on that mount for the darkness of the night to cover him. And he spent the lonely hours in fellowship with his Father, such as was part of his humiliation on our behalf. It was to be hoped that the scribe would count the cost of true discipleship and weighed well the real nature and strength of the attachment to Christ. What does it cost to follow Christ? What does it cost to be part of that bride? Now, I'm not talking about family God. I'm talking about that special bride. You know what's going to cost you to be part of that bride? Everything. Everything. Paul's part of that. Peter's part of that. Many of the disciples here became part of that bride. And that's a parable too. Weigh the real nature and strength of the attachment to Christ. It would seem as if the scribe was not willing to for spiritual solitude and impoverishment of full allegiance that involved following Christ. The second would-be disciple is a little more difficult to understand if the scribe is presented as a rash or precipitate disciple. This second man appears as a procrastinating and entangled disciple. Because at first sight the man's cause for delay seems to be most reasonable, but I already told you about this, he would lose his right to the great percentage of his family's property if he walked off and left them. Was he willing to walk off and leave everything and become like Jesus, less than the foxes and the birds of the air? We may marvel at Christ's apparently sharp reply. Various interpretations have been given of the man's request for Christ's response. We feel that it is inconceivable that this man left the dead body of his father to listen to Christ's preaching and neglected all the preparations for the interment of his father into a grave. He could not, in the nature of things, be free for such engagements as listening to Christ preaching in such circumstances. The only view, then, which appears to be consistent with the conditions of this case, that he supposes that the man's father aged but not dead, but not nor dying, and the man's professing a filial piety which constrains him to wait with his father to comfort his age and after death perform with him the last duties of the filial service and get his share. Get his share. Don't forget that. Get his share. If the father were already dead, he had only died that day, and the burial would have followed within a few days. It says hours here. They would bury a person, and then they wait for 3 days. Now, the very most that this man, if he had died right then, the most that he would have to wait was 3 days. Mm-hmm. But there's more to it than that. It's that family fortune that he's after. He is therefore like many who would be missionaries, but for an aged mother are those who will do a great work, only not yet. The heart being more in the delaying and excuse than in the intent. By the same Christ who differed, the hasty scribe who spurs the delaying disciple, follow me. The unquickened can bury the unquickened. The dead can bury the dead. His disciples, by divine empowerment, can give life to dead souls. They could raise his dead father had he been dead. The sharp words of Christ have more of love in them than the pleasant words of the world. It is to be hoped that both of these men were delivered from their personal danger, weaknesses, and temptations by Christ's faithful word and encouragement. Let the dead bury the dead. Who are the dead? Who are the dead? In your family, there are dead and living people, and both of them are living. Those that are spiritually dead are those without Christ. Are you without Christ? Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Have you come to Jesus Christ believing that he is God's Son, believing that he died on the cross of Calvary, really, and that he was buried, really, and that he was raised, really, for sure? Do you believe the word of God? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, at the right season, right time. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that who believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you believe these scriptures? For they are his. They are from the words of this man right here, Jesus, our God, our Savior, our Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. Confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, and you shall be saved. Our Father, we send this message out today for those that might not know you. Father, give them the conviction of your Spirit that they might come unto you. Then give them faith that they might believe, and give them repentance that they might have a change of life. And Father, forgive us for we fail you. There are so many dimensions to your grace and so much forgiveness, Father, in your words and in your heart and in your love and your Spirit. Thank you for all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.